Jacob is getting to the end of his stay. Well, real quick here, we're gonna combine five sermons into 60 seconds, so you guys can get caught up here. So let's see if my timer and my notes are working here. It'll be great if it does. If it doesn't, oh well, I tried. Internet has been out, so this may or may not work. There we go. Number one, Jacob cheated. He cheated his brother out of his birthright. He cheated his brother out of a blessing. And Esau got mad. Number two, Jacob has to go away. He has to flee. His brother wants to kill him. And his dad says, it's time you grew up and you went and you got a wife. So number three, Jacob saw a woman that he loved. And her father said, work 7 years and you can have her. Well, 7 years and, well, his father-in-law Laban cheated him. Gave him the older sister, not the younger one. And so he says, hey, if you'll work for me 7 more years, you can have both. It's a 2-for-1. So Jacob worked, and he worked, and he worked, and he worked. And his wives gave him their service to be wives. Uh-oh. And then Laban cheated him. He took away what he said was his pay. God blessed him anyway. Laban was unhappy. And so God speaks to Jacob, it is time to go. Jacob conferences with his wife, and so they loaded up the truck and they moved to, well, out of Haran. Okay, 60 seconds, a little bit long on that one, but I was happy it worked. All right, so Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels and drove them away. Away all his livestock and all of his property that he had gained, the livestock in his possession that he had acquired at Padan Aram, and he went to the land of Cana to his father Isaac. All right. So, it's time to go. He had talked to his wives. He told them about a dream that the Lord had given him. And you know, one of the things that we look at that he has spent all this time, 20 years, but you know, the thing about it, leaving was always God's plan for Jacob. Sometimes we take a look at things and we wonder, how in the world is this ever going to work out? God has a plan for your life, and it doesn't matter if you're even aware of it. God is moving, and He is putting you in different places so that you can do what He wants you to do. So, the angel of the Lord stood above him and said, I am the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out from the east to the west and the north and the south. And in you all the offspring and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land so that I will not leave you until I have done all that I promised you. So this is the dream that he had whenever he was going to Padan Aram. And now the Lord spoke to him and said, it is time. God's timing. Well, you know, that's one thing that we don't always understand. God has a purpose for your life. He has plans for your life. And you know what? Sometimes I wish the Lord would either tell us the timeline. Hey, I'm going to do this at this time. Or he would give us a heads up. But you know what? The Lord, we have to know. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. God has steps for you to take. And so you need to make sure that you are prayerfully considering the steps that you should take. So their time has come to leave, and oh yeah. Well, one last thing here before they go. Laban goes out to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's teraphim. What's a teraphim? Well, sometimes your Bible might even say they call these household gods. It might be an idol. It might be an object of ancestral worship. Some people have even likened it to a family album. But one of the things that we know is that it wasn't God's will. You know, see, sin is not God's will for your life. Some say that Rachel stole her father's teraphim because, you know, she didn't want him to divine where they were. But you know, when you've got camels and donkeys and sheep and slaves and 12 children, 4 wives. You leave a trail, don't you? I'm looking at that. I'm not thinking that she, because sometimes the biblical scholars, they really like to put the happiest face on things there. I don't know why she stole it. But I don't think it was so that her father couldn't divine or, divine and ask where they are. Now, regardless of this, the Lord spoke against having teraphim in the household about 3 other times during the Old Testament. And we're even told that we're not, that those who worship idols, well, they're worshiping demons. And so we already have, I'll tell you what, it's never a good idea to mess with the occult. We'll just put that one out there. That's a freebie for you. And open yourself up to things that you don't want. But here's what happens. Jacob tricked Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him that what he intended to flee. He fled with all that he has, rose and crossed the Euphrates, and set his face towards the hill country of Gilead. All right. Old habits sometimes die hard. You see, part of what was going on, Jacob needed to be cheated because he was a cheater. God will often discipline us with the exact thing that we need discipline about. The punishment fits the crime. Jacob cheated, and so he needed to be cheated himself so that he would learn a lesson. Now, no, she said, he deceived. Remember, Jacob's name actually means the one to make Mr. Chief. One who trips up, one who causes people to stumble. Now, old habits may die hard, but Paul tells us in Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Notice that. God has a perfect will for your life. Just like God had a perfect will for Jacob. And you know what? God will get his point across and God will move where he wants to move. But you know what? Wouldn't you rather be in the perfect will of God than just kind of float around in kind of a permissive will of God? You can choose one of those if you'd like. But it tells you, we have to be transformed. We can't rely on our old way of doing things. Because if we're going to do our old way, we're going to be like Jacob. What do you do? Well, going back to being a trickster. Going back to being dishonest. So, what happens? Well, they get up. They start moving. And it says, when it was told Laban on the 3rd day that Jacob had fled, he took his kinsmen with him and pursued him for 7 days. And they followed close up on him up the hill and towards the country of Gilead. So, like I said, it's not a hard thing to track a caravan of hundreds of sheep and donkeys and all these other things there. And so they're going hard after them there. Definitely upset. You think you have trouble with your father, Paul? I'll leave that one alone. So what happens? Laban is probably not, is going all this way to just, give Jacob a kiss on the cheek. Oh boy, you've been so good. 20 years. Love you. Hey, forgot to say goodbye. Here's your Hallmark card. Wasn't going to happen. He was mad. And you know what? God speaks to him in a dream. God tells him, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. You know what? When you're in God's perfect will, God can really look out for you. If you're gonna flirt with sin or flirt with disaster, a lot of times things happen. Our firemen know that. There are people who get themselves in all types of trouble because they had to use gasoline to start the fire. Okay. Not a good idea, right, guys? You nod on that. That's okay. But we need to make sure we're staying in God's perfect will, so that His protection, so that we're over the center of His protection. Because, God will let us do stupid things, doesn't He? And He lets us suffer the consequences of our stupid things. But He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So He'll be with us. And He's like, Ed, if you'd listen to me, you wouldn't be in this situation right now. But I'm here with you. I hope you learn your lesson as you're going through this. So what happens? Well, surprise, surprise, they caught him. Oh, And so I like this. What have you done that you have tricked me and driven away my daughters like captives of the sword? Why did you flee secretly and trick me and did not tell me that I might send you away with mirth and song and tambourine and lyre? Why did you not permit me to kiss my sons and daughters farewell? Now you've done foolishly. It is in my power now to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful. Do not say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. And now you have gone away because you long greatly for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Why did you steal my teraphim? Well, Jacob says, all right, we didn't steal it. I didn't steal it. Tell you what, matter of fact, he says, you could go and you can search. But why? Why did you? I leave? He has a moment of honesty. Because I was afraid, for I thought that you would take your daughters from me by force. You know, whenever we do stupid things, a motivator in there is fear. We're afraid something's going to happen. We're afraid that this bad thing, or this relationship will go this way. And a lot of times we do stupid things and we do them because we're afraid. We're afraid to do the right thing. Because the right thing will cost us sometimes. The right thing means that we go and we talk to somebody. Look at them face to face and tell them the problems that are happening. And then face the music then. But let me tell you, my friends, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You see, there are going to be some sticky situations out there. You're going to find yourself in trouble sometimes with some of the things that you did. But don't be afraid, because God's Holy Spirit is within us. Notice we have power and love and self-control. Self-control is really important. Be able to control your actions. Be able to control what comes out of your mouth. Be able to control what it is you're thinking. God has given you power to be able to do these things. Now, what does he say? He says, well, with anyone you find your gods, they shall not live. In the presence of our kinsmen, point out what I have that is yours, and take it. Now it says, and Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen these. So what happens? Well, they begin a search. They begin with Leah. They're going everything there, emptying out the bags, and they're looking everywhere. They go to Bilhah. They go through all the kids' stuff. They go to the net. They go through all of it. There's nothing. They haven't found anything. They haven't found the terror. They haven't found those household gods. And they go into Rachel, and they go into Rachel's tent. And get a hold of this. She says to her father when he comes into her tent, Now Rachel had stolen the household gods and put them in her camel's saddle and sat on them. And Laban felt around the tent and he did not find them. And she said to her father, let not my Lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the way of the woman is upon me. I won't even say anything about that one there. That's okay, no problem. So she lied to get out of a sticky situation. Well, her husband said, hey, whoever you find these things in, you know, you get to kill them. We'll put them to death right here because, hey, I haven't stolen them. I told nobody else to take anything, not to take any of the sheep, not take anything that is not ours. I told them to pack up our stuff and let's go. And anybody who disobeyed my order is because I'm the head of the house. Well, then they need to die if they disobeyed. So, enough is enough. Jacob is upset now. What's my offense? What's my sin? Why have you hotly pursued me? For you have felt through all my goods, and you have found all your household goods? Set it there before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, and let them decide between the two of us. Boy, he's hot. Now he needs to get something off his chest.
Probably should have known before. I'll summarize. You can read that up there if you like. Serving 20 years. It was hot. It was cold. The sheep was dumb. They wandered away. I didn't know anything about sheep when I got here. But I kept them. Some people stole them. I paid for it. Some died for no reason. I paid for those. I served you for 7 for the first wife I didn't want. Had served for another 7 for the one that I didn't want. I got all these kids. I got these two other wives I didn't want either. And all this is your fault because you kept changing my pay time after time after time.
One thing to say, this is a cultural thing here. Not sure when this would end, but notice he says, the daughters are my daughters. The children are my children. The flocks are my flocks. All that you see is mine. What can I do this day for these daughters or for their children whom they have born? Everything belongs to the dad.
Sounds like you probably should have had a conversation before he left the house, doesn't it? Probably should have told Laban about his dream that he had from the Lord, told him about the promises that God had made him and what was going on in his life. So what happens?
Well, come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. God changed a man's heart.
He was trying to change another man's heart and his way of doing and thinking to go from being Mr. Cheat to being a person that God can use.
And along the way, the trials and tribulations that you go through, that's God's classroom. We're trying to teach you something. And so we need to look at the things we're going through. We need to ask God, what is it that you're trying to do? Because we are in covenant with God.
Just as Jacob and Laban were going to enter into a covenant there, a solemn promise, you and I are within a covenant with God. And so we need to be careful. We need to treat that covenant as holy. We need to make sure that God's going to keep his side of the deal. We need to keep our side of the covenant. And that means that we need to keep our believing faith. That means we need to serve him. Oh, we don't go to heaven based on our merit or our deeds or anything else. We're going to go to heaven because we're in covenant. Jesus died for your sins. That's the blood covenant. Jesus rose from the grave. That shows that he is God. And Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. You're in the covenant. Oh. So Jacob took some stones, he set them up, he made an altar, and they invoked God in this. Jacob said to his kinsmen, gather stones, and they took stones, and they made a heap, and they ate there at the heap. Laban called it a name I can't pronounce, and Jacob called it Gilead, which basically means, both of them mean the same thing. They both mean heap of witness. So they created a memorial there. And they said, this is a witness between you and I. This marks the beginning of a new relationship. Very similar to later, whenever we came to this altar and we knelt down and we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we began our covenant walk with our Father. He set the terms. He is faithful. And he invites us to enter in to a covenant with him. According to his nature, not according to ours, because, some days I'm not so good. Some days you're not so good either. But we don't enter into covenant based on our goodness. We enter that covenant based on God's goodness.
Amen.
So here are the terms that Laban lays out.
If you oppress my daughters or take wives beside my daughters, though no one is as you see us, though God is witness between you and me.
I think Jacob, after 4 wives, he's got enough. I don't think he wants any more. So they set up some boundaries here. This heap of witness and this pillar, this heap of witness and this pillar is a witness that I will not pass over this heap to you, and you will not pass over this heap and the pillar to me to do harm. Man, they called a truce. Laban knew that he had done wrong. He knew that he cheated him. And God is working on his heart too, because you know what? He went all this way to bring everything back. Probably to kill his son-in-law too while he was at it. So what do they do? Well, Jacob, he offers sacrifice. They took just a heap of stones, just rock. They stacked them up. You know, it's just an orderly heap of stones. But then something happens. Jacob offers sacrifice. He sanctifies it to the Lord. He offers up one of the lambs. Bible doesn't tell us that, but we're probably going to save them making an assumption on there. They dedicated that to the Lord. So we need to know. Sometimes there's some things in our lives where it's just a heap of stones until we dedicate it to the Lord. Whether it's our job, or whether it's our house, whether it's our calling, it's just ours if we give it away. God calls us to give everything to Him. And you know the thing about it is we get to give it all back. We just have to be a good steward with it. So whether it's your job, your marriage, your kids, your money, your school, education, we offer everything to the Lord. It's our sacrifice. It's our saying, Lord, this is yours. I give it to you. The Lord says, thank you. I give it back. Take good care of it. And so what happens here? You know, this is what I think Laban wanted all the time. It says, early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them, and he departed and he returned home. You see, even me know Laban. What he wanted, well, he wanted to love his kids. Wasn't the best at it, we know that. He loved his grandkids. What does he do? He gets up in the morning, he gets a chance to say goodbye. It's what he wanted to do here. So, there are always going to be troubles. What are we going to do? We don't need to be a Jacob and just kind of run away and hide and leave in the middle of the night. Jesus gave us some instructions if we have trouble in our church. It's not a bad, definitely not a bad thing to follow, is it? Jesus gives us instructions. We should do that. I just say, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. Could you imagine if Jacob had said to Laban, hey, oh, by the way, Laban, hey, let's gather all the tribes. Let me go here first. Let me tell you what's on my mind. Never did that. Just went home and griped to his wife. Wives. Next comes conflict resolution. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that the charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Laban brought all these guys with him. What did Jacob do? He said, hey, let's sit down. Let's take a look at this. Let's find out what's here. You know, the idea is resolve conflict. That's what happens. A lot of times we just let conflict lay. That's no bueno, is it? Because you know what? If we bury hurt feelings, well, they have a high rate of resurrection. And those hurt feelings come out at wrong times, don't they? Part of conflict resolution is if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even the church, then you let him be you like a Gentile or a tax collector. You know, we're called to resolve conflict. Best way is man to man first. This is good. If somebody doesn't listen, well, then it means that we involve others in it. Make sure that it's not this misunderstanding. And finally, well, this is the ultimate one right here. someone was not willing to change their ways, well, it comes time to, well, to cut off relationship. And that's a hard thing to do. But you know what? Just want to add a little bit to this, because family is different than church. Oh yeah. We're going to go through each one of these. Sooner is always better than later. Don't let problems set. Draw appropriate boundaries. Not everybody has the right to cross over the bridge, do they? Appeal to relationship. Because you know what? In arguments, that's really what we want to do, is we want to promote relationship, understanding. And recognize your limits and relinquish the relationship to God sometimes. So, sooner is always better than later. Jesus said, if you given your offering at church and you realize that your brother has something against you, leave it and make it right. That speaks about urgency. Be reconciled is what Jesus says. And reconciled, this isn't, oh, I'm sorry, you're sorry, okay, we're cool. That means to reestablish relationship. Set appropriate boundaries within your family. Husbands, you've been told to leave and cleave. For this cause will a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two will become one. Sometimes problems arise whenever we bring in-laws into conflict. Wives are said to respect their husbands. Parents are told not to exasperate their children. Children are to honor their parents. And guys, girls, there is no limit, age limit, on honoring your parents. My dad's an older man than I am, obviously. Sometimes I don't think he's kept up with everything he's going, but you know what? I listen and I honor him. I may not do what he says, but you know what? The old guy's still got some good ideas. You know what? If we'll take and we'll set appropriate boundaries in our relationships, you know what? Our life will be a lot easier. And you know what? If you're having a problem in your family, appeal to relationship. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Man, can you ever remember coming home, dads, and your wife has that look? It says something about your children? Oh, we need to keep unity in the house between husband and wives, between children and parents. We need to resolve our issues. Because if you don't, now this is in Proverbs, but you know what? I think this is probably, well, this is common sense. Whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind, or your verse of the Bible may say whirlwind. I think whirlwind is better. Man, you cause trouble in your own house, there's a tornado waiting to happen. And all the firemen in Socorro can't do anything about it. And finally, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Notice that. If possible. Sometimes it's not possible. But if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, not on them, on you. Because you are the only person you can change. Live peaceably with all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together. Lord, we thank you for all of our firefighters, first responders. Lord, they are awesome. Lord, would you bless them? Lord, keep them safe. Lord, alert them to any danger or harm that would come. Lord, walk with them. Preserve them. And we thank you. My family, my friends, I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If our first responders would come and pick out a flag and take a drawing for your refrigerator.